Welcome to a new series of BibleTruthOnline.com. And through our many resources and books in our library, I happened to pull one off the shelf that I thought would be fun and educational to talk about. Not that we would agree with a lot of the statements, but they would be a beginning of a conversation. And I saw a nice pattern in this book that would cover a lot of different areas, similar to what we did with the seven sacraments. And the book that I pull off my shelf here, it's been getting dusty, is Catholic Questions, Catholic Answers. And I remember reading this book a couple years ago, and it confused me, and this is written by Father Kenneth Ryan, and some of these simple questions and answers, the whole book is questions and answers. So I think as our group moves on in Bible studies, we'll work on this on the side, and give our listeners some interesting topics to think about. So tonight we'll start with chapter 1. And chapter 1 of this book is God. And the first question asked is, I recently told a Jewish man that the Holy Spirit was the third person of the Holy Trinity, and the Trinity was a mystery. What else should I have said? And the answer given is, that would depend on the depth of his interest. Quite possibly you told him enough for the present. The Trinity doctrine is the essence of the Catholic faith, but its relevance is best learned after other more familiar religious topics have been explored. The Church has forbidden philosophical explanations of the Trinity. But in a devotional sense, we can say that the Holy Spirit personifies the love between the Father and the Son. The Father is infinitely perfect. The Son is the Word of the Father, a perfect expression of the Father, as the Word of a human being is the expression of his thought. The Father, perceiving the Son, sees all perfection and loves the Son, as the Son sees and loves the Father. In simplified human terms, we can say that this love is so intense, infinite really, that as it proceeds from the Father and Son, it is personified in the Holy Spirit. He is the person who is the love between the Father and the Son. Another basic concept is that the Trinity was unknown to humanity before the revelation by Christ. Up to the time of Christ, only the Father was known and obeyed. Christ revealed himself as God, I and the Father are one, so his followers knew both the Father and the Son during his life on earth. When the time came, Christ ascended into heaven, but sent the Holy Spirit upon the believers of Pentecost on Pentecost Day. Thus, in the history of the world, men and women have known the Father, then the Father and the Son during the lifetime of Christ on earth, and now the Church knows the Holy Spirit and lives under His direction. It is because of this gradual revelation that the Church believes in the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That ends, and I'm ready to leave the room because I'm totally confused and I don't even know what I just read.
And the worst part about this is, we talk about what is revealed to man. I think it's better said what's revealed by the churches to the people. Mm-hmm. Because if you go look at the Bible, somebody walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Mm-hmm. Okay? They'd already sinned. Okay? Or they sinned, so if it was God who walked down there with them, they would have blown up. Okay? It's as simple as that. God sees sin, it's dead, it's gone. So somebody's there. So there's part of the Trinity right there. Mm-hmm. Somebody's already there. Mm-hmm. Okay. When we turn around, as we get on into the Bible, we turn around and we talk about the prophets. And the prophets are led by, so we don't have to wait to Pentecost. Because the prophets are led by the Spirit. They're led by the Holy Spirit. They go through onto that. So once again, it's already there. Now maybe the Church catches up later on, because it seems like a lot of churches try to start from the New Testament up, like Adam never existed. However, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the topic of the Trinity, it's not the place you start off the question.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got a lot of bases to cover before you can get back to that. It's the wrong opening question. Okay.
Right.
And the more you try to explain it with falsehoods, the worse it gets. Okay. If you don't know, don't talk.
I find it kind of strange that they say, up until Jesus, only the Father is known, when repeatedly throughout the Bible it talks about the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And let's not even talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's not even talk about the time of the kings. Let's go to the time the period of time of the judges, okay? A long period of time.
Right.
When Israel had no king. And how did those judges operate? Under the power of the Holy Spirit when it came upon them.
Exactly.
Samson, was that his strength? No, that was the Holy Spirit's strength.
Samson never said it was his strength,
right?
He knew.
They knew. Let's not even go to David during the time of the kings. I mean, the Holy Spirit on David. Let's not even go there. Before that, they knew full and well the Spirit of God came upon people, and people operated under that Spirit.
Because Samson, when he lost his hair, had his eyes put out, he prayed for the Spirit of God to give him that power again. And by the Jewish words in that, it's that power that is breathed back into Samson, okay, that gives him the strength to knock the pillars down. So there's a number of examples of that, though.
And I totally disagree with the statement he made. Up to the time of Christ, only the Father was known and obeyed. I don't think so. Jesus moves through the midst of a crowd after they asked him who he is. And what is the response that almost gets them to stone him? He says, I am. And going back to Moses, Moses is given the name of God. And what is the verse? I am that I am. Since he made that statement to the Jews, Jesus Christ made that statement to the Jews, I am. They were ready to stone him because they knew very well what Jesus was implying. That he was the one, the I am, that spoke to Moses. So even the Jews don't have this type of explanation on who the Messiah is. The Messiah is the Son of God. And just as Jesus said in his own words, my Father is greater than I. So to tell me that before Christ that we knew the Father, no, we knew Christ before Jesus, before he came down here in flesh.
Because when you look at John 1:1, the Word creates the world.
Right.
Okay, so from the creation up, we know Jesus.
All the Bible, New Testament, Jesus as creator. Okay?
You think that Jesus, was it Jesus or God that walked by Moses when Moses had to hide in the cliff?
Right.
Yeah.
If God walked by, the thunder would have just roared. Yeah. If God would have looked at the earth, would the earth pull up its sin? Once again, it wouldn't be here. It would be vaporized.
And not only that, but if you're saying, if what the Catholic Church is saying, if it was Moses was speaking to the Father in the bush on the mountaintop, they're calling Jesus a liar.
Right.
Jesus said that was me. I am.
Yeah.
I am in the bush. I am before Abraham.
Father is...
Now, we talk about, like, I am before Abraham. Okay. You got to play that off two ways because the way God works his words. Jesus was before Abraham in time. Jesus was before Abraham because Abraham was in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. He talked with Abraham. Remember, he came down with the three angels. Abraham was before, was in front of him.
Right.
Not only before time, but in front of as well. There's two meanings to before.
So who created this earth and man?
Jesus.
Through
the power of himself.
Which is?
Through God. He is God.
Which is the Father.
Yeah, he
is
God. That's
how it goes.
He is the Father.
As if they knew at times of John the Baptist that the Messiah was coming.
What?
That Messiah, even the Messiah, would a Jew call the Messiah the Father? I don't think so. It goes beyond that. So even in their religion, the point that I'm getting to is just like Jesus said, that his Father is greater than he, but they are one.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that makes perfect sense. It's not too confusing.
Yeah.
If we know that the Son is a creator who spoke to Moses as I am, and is fully connected, one with the Father, who is everything, correct?
Yes.
See? The Father is greater than, just as Jesus said, the Father is greater than he, but they are one. To me, working through the medium of the Holy Spirit, it starts to make sense. But you can see why I'm surprised that this book starts off with this question. Out of all the questions to ask, I'm very surprised this was number on page one. It is an involved conversation.
The explanation that bothers me the most about it, and it's the same stopping point that catches me a lot of conversations with people who are trying to understand Christianity and can't get over that, is really trying to separate that Trinity. Like, it's three completely separate things. It's not. They're all the same thing. And that's what this author is trying to do. He's saying God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, separate things. And they're really not. They are complete complements of each other, and they are each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for the human mind to grasp that because it's not a human thing. It's a God thing.
the author's right. almost yeah. trying to remove that stumbling stone, mm-hmm. but he's almost making it worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What he's saying and he's removing sense. It with, that's a mystery.
Yeah.
Okay, so our first question, our answer to our first question is, that's a mystery.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we have for the first and statement? I don't know.
And then there's the next statement. What do you guys think about the Holy Spirit is love? All the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, his whole relationship
yeah.
concepts of going back, this is this and this is that, says who?
I see that nowhere. Yeah,
pretty loose, pretty fast and loose with the, you know,
yeah.
God is love and God hates war, so God is not war, God is this. It's pretty fast and loose with the words. I didn't see any verses, I didn't see any backbone, I saw a lot of jelly,
yeah.
I saw a lot of things floating in it, but I didn't see anything concrete.
No bread, just jelly.
Yeah.
We go on with question number two?
Oh yeah, we're doing so well.
Question two. All our prayers in a liturgy are addressed to the Father or the Son. Does this ignore the Holy Spirit?
Or just they just jump right out, don't they?
Yeah.
Answer. It doesn't really. We are addressing the same God whether we say Father, Son, or Holy Spirit at the beginning of our prayer. But what... Go ahead.
Didn't Jesus say, after you come to me, you will go to the Father directly.
Mm-hmm. Through the whole...
Okay,
Jesus.
So, Jesus is God. Fine, you can go that way. Jesus is God, Holy Spirit, I guess you can go that way. Okay, but you don't... See, this whole question is, Jesus said, don't worry about the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that I'm God, you know you're talking to me.
Right.
If you haven't got that part figured out yet, talk to God.
Right.
We're the same, but that's okay. You can talk to God, okay? If you figured out that the Holy Spirit is part of this, you can talk to the Holy Spirit, okay? And if you don't know it, just keep talking to God. God can be one, God can be two, God can be three. We got it all covered. Just start talking to us is the important thing. Don't try to figure it out. Let me know what's on your mind.
But what you say is invariably true of the opening prayer formerly called Collect of the Mass. For the first 1,000 years of the Church's existence, all the collects were addressed simply to God, but through Christ in the unity of the Holy Spirit.
Like I said, God said, don't worry about it. You put it up there. We'll figure it out. We'll get it directed to the right mailbox.
If you miss one, your prayer doesn't get answered. If you pray to the Father and Jesus and you don't mention the Holy Spirit, sorry, your prayer doesn't get answered. It doesn't qualify.
About the year 1000, there was a reaction to Arianism, which still cropped up from time to time. Arians regarded Christ as lower than the Father. Let's see where they go with this. This Catholic Church's reaction consisted in writing some of the new collect prayers so that they were addressed, as you say, directly and personally to the second person. This was an affirmation of belief in the equality of the Son with the Father. Like Jesus said, we are one.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it was not too good an idea because that word through then had to be dropped from the ending of the prayer. Through expressed a profound concept of the workings of the Blessed Trinity. God the Creator worked through the second person.
So, in other words, you're wrong if you said, I pray this in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I say, you know, this is me. I say, God's smart enough to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
God is Jesus. God is the Holy Spirit. God is God. You get the prayer up there, they'll work it out. They're good at that stuff.
Jesus said to pray in his name. I don't know where they're going with
that. Well, and he also said you can pray to God.
Yeah.
And Jesus is God. So, once again, we're getting all worked up over something where they're going, guys, we got it. We're gods, and gods can handle
well, not
this
gods, world. But anyway.
Up here are God, and we can handle that.
Yeah.
How's that?
Okay,
I think Jesus is the first one to introduce God in terms of Father. Remember when he teaches them how to pray?
Mm-hmm.
And he says to address God as Father.
Our Father, yeah.
I don't see that in the Old Testament. I think Jesus is introducing something new in the New Covenant that you can now address God as Father through me.
Yeah.
So I think that's even a new concept when he's even telling them.
I think what you should look at, too, is why can we now address God as Father?
And Paul says,
because we know this.
No, hang on. Why can we now address God as Father?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What's different about us now that wasn't before?
We've seen Jesus. Jesus has been here.
We have a kinsman redeemer.
Right.
This kinsman redeemer in Jesus, we are now family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The heathen before this was not family. He was sinner. He was outcast. He was gone.
Mm-hmm.
We, who are kin redeemed,
mm-hmm.
can say Father. and the rest of these can say duck. Okay? I mean, it's...
The Nicene Creed says, quote, through whom also he made the world. So even through the second person is divine, he is also a man, and we go through him to the Godhead in our official prayer.
Wait a minute. We go through him a man? He is man. He is God. Mm-hmm. Okay, we didn't go through man. We went through Jesus. Let's not... We went through Jesus the man. We went through Jesus God. Plain and simple, we went through Jesus. He's not half of this and half of that. He is.
Right.
We go through Jesus.
Right.
Okay? Through that kin part, we are in that family. That's where you go. You know, you don't have to play... There's too many games here.
Yeah.
Too many games that are going nowhere.
The Holy Spirit, the third person, was sent upon the church by Christ to guide it and never has been thought of as a mediator. I'm glad they admit that, but that's not true anyway. So in sending our prayers to the Godhead, we do not go through the Holy Spirit. Consequently, he is never directly addressed in these official prayers. Of course, in non-official or devotional prayer, there is not the same need to preserve doctrinal tradition, and the Holy Spirit can be directly addressed.
For what purpose? if the Holy Spirit is God, and Jesus is God, and God is God, and we're trying to talk to God, and all we have to say is God, why are you playing these games?
Isn't the Holy Spirit the one that leads you to pray? Isn't the one, aren't you just pray, doesn't Paul say just pray in the Spirit?
Yeah, but not to the Spirit. What they're saying is, yeah.
Yeah, so why are you even talking about whether or not you pray to the Spirit? That's not the point of the Spirit. The Spirit is there to lead you and show you how to pray.
It's again trying to make it three separate things. It's three, and it's personifying those things, and you can't Spirit.
Yeah.
What's the Spirit? It's not a person.
Number three.
It's not a person. They say person
it's
number three.
Number
it's three. It's not a person.
Yeah.
But you're taking out the purpose of the Spirit. You're totally bypassing what the Spirit is for.
You know what this is? This isn't God talking here.
Yeah.
No.
These questions here are man trying to tell God how they want to conform, how to compartmentize. God, look, we got it all worked out. This is how we want you to set it up.
God
and God's going, get the prayer up here. I got it. Okay? You don't pray. You don't spend 15 minutes trying to figure this out and don't pray.
Do I pray to God? Do I pray to Jesus?
How should I address him? Well, I better not say anything since I don't know how. Yeah. I mean, that's where this is going.
You know what?
That's terrible.
That's really where you're getting to. And you know, they're talking about all these prayers and stuff and these official addresses, and God says, just talk.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I already know what you're going to say.
So
get it up here. Let's go.
I unfortunately see that this will lead someone to saying they're meek and shy because they feel they don't know how to properly address God. So why pray? Yeah.
I've heard that.
That's
comment.
Horrible. Because you could be cursed if you do it wrong.
I mean, that's horrible.
Yeah. I've heard that comment spoken a lot, and it's
bad
because people
not.
Spend years
staying
away from God because they don't know how to even come to them.
Because man's little mind running here. Man's mind.
One thing, too, I don't know about you guys, but when I pray, it's not necessarily, dear God, or dear Heavenly Father. It's rarely is it ever a full-on address like that. It's usually like, I'm lost. Give me something. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? And just to show you the other side of the coin, do you know every one of my prayers starts off with? Because it's hard to get started, so I got past that. It's like, dear God. And then I can go right into it.
Even if you don't say, dear God.
Put a stamp on it, let's go.
even though you don't say, dear God, your heart, backed up by your conscience, knows exactly what you're doing. You're stating inside the voice in your head.
Right? I only use the dear God part as the start, as a kickoff point.
You don't have to vocalize in your mind. Your heart says what you're doing. You sat down through the medium of the Spirit.
The Spirit knows how to pray.
Exactly.
It's your flesh getting in the way.
Right.
Confusing the hell out of you. If you just listen to the Spirit, you'll be fine.
Yeah, my part of the prayer is, dear God, then the Spirit takes over with the rest. That's why the rest of it's pretty good. And the opening part, God's just like, God, man, he uses a lot of stamps.
I mean, here we go. And we'll make this statement right now. Please speak to God with your heart. Just in your mind, no one hears you. No one will know, but you can speak directly to God. Just speak to him. Jesus came here and suffered a horrible death and resurrected, so you have this opportunity through the Holy Spirit to pray now in your own mind. No one knows. So
you're
please do it. Don't worry about these man doctrines.
Yeah,
this is doctrine of man.
Yeah. And you're not going to be judged on how well you prayed and how well you addressed God. You're going to be judged on how well Jesus knows you.
Exactly.
And
you know
do
him.
Do you sit here and say, oh, Mr. So-and-so, when it's your best friend that you're talking to all the time?
Right.
No. You refer to them as a nickname. You refer to them by first name, whatever it is. It's not formal. This is not formal.
Jesus said, I'll call you friends.
Yeah.
And it's not tricky either. No matter how good you speak, you're not going to convince God of something. Okay. If I say this really well, maybe I can get a pony.
Yeah.
I'm trying to manipulate God.
Or please, my heart says I just want a Ferrari. But please give me $1 million.
Please, our Heavenly Father.
Yeah, please give me $1 million and I'll put 90% to your cause, whatever that might be. You show me later. Just give me $1 million. But my heart inside is because I want a red Ferrari. He sees all of it. He knows exactly where you're
going. Like I said, I know what you're going to say before you say it.
Exactly.
And sometimes the answer is no. Okay, that's one of them.
The greatest Apostle Paul even says we can approach God with the term Abba, which is a childlike daddy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a father. It's not even formal. It's so informal. It's like a baby. You know, it's the first word that a baby can speak, daddy.
Right.
You know, it's not even that. It's coming to a loving father, a God who died for you, for your sins, loves you more than anything in the whole universe. And just want you to come in as a child, not overthinking it, not taking it to the point of confusion, simply as a child, as an infant, saying daddy.
Yeah. Abba's a nice word. There's a band named Abba, too.
Yeah, there you go.
So moving on, is all this is pretty well summed up in the Mass for Pentecost, as now revised, 1963. The opening prayer is addressed to Almighty and ever-living God. The responsorial psalm refrain is, Lord, send out your Spirit. The versicle before the gospel is, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. A direct addressing of the Holy Spirit, but not in so essential a part of the Mass as the ancient opening prayer. So we've got this perfect formula. Maybe I should go right now and do it.
Almighty Heavenly Father.
Yeah, you know.
Come to your Lord.
I don't know what they're mentioning all these formulas, and this is the proper way of that. I don't know who says that's proper.
Yeah.
Who's saying this is the way you speak the Holy Spirit? I don't see anyone ordering the Holy Spirit and instructing them. There's no words you're going to any man in any position in any church is going to say some secret formula of words, of proper address, to get the Holy Spirit to do something.
So,
it doesn't work like this.
So
well, here's the point. Show me in the Bible where man orders the Holy Spirit to do anything. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of books. There's a lot of words. There's a lot of sentences. And I don't see one of them. Holy Spirit, attack. It's not out there.
Yeah.
However, the Holy Spirit will attack on its own without any prompting. Elisha didn't ask the Holy Spirit to go kill 42 bears. The Holy Spirit did it on its own.
So God did not remove the thorn from Paul's flesh because he said Abba and not, oh, Almighty Heavenly Father. That's the way Paul addressed him.
Yeah. See, it's...
You're saying Paul's prayers aren't answered because he didn't say, oh, Almighty Heavenly... He used this formula that the Catholic Church created in,
1963? So is that, does that have to do with Kennedy's assassination or Paul, see?
Well, that ends that question. We have...
that ended that one. Oh, yeah.
We have two more to do here, so we'll move on. So our third question is it true that God does not have any gender and that the Holy Spirit is often referred to as she? The answer given is, we human beings have only what is known as an analogical knowledge of God. We do not have complete scientific direct knowledge. They can only try to understand the greatness of God, for instance, by the immeasurable universe. God's infinity we can never understand. God's attributes of love, mercy, justice, and so on, we can think of only as improvements on human love, mercy, and justice.
That's his answer?
Any
more?
Yeah, there's more.
Keep going, I'm ready.
We cannot imagine, much less know, such attributes when they are infinite. So whatever is good in maleness or in femaleness is found in God in infinite degree, as is every other attribute which to our human minds is good. Christ referred to God as Father when teaching the apostles the Lord's Prayer. he could have been making allowance for the human limitation that makes us personify even the forces of nature as the old pagans did. Christ himself was male, but while he was the culmination of God's revelation to the human race, even that revelation does not give us complete knowledge of God, any more than the comparisons we make to get our analogical knowledge. Given the limitations of human intelligence, God would no more reveal himself completely than he would lecture first graders on Einstein's theories. Anyone who refers to the Holy Spirit as she probably has some mistaken notion that the Blessed Trinity is Father, Son, and Mother. That would be a new Christian heresy, but would occur to people who think Mother Nature and God are the same. The Holy Spirit proceeds, according to the Nicene Creed, from the Father and the Son. The Son is not the offspring of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Even to think provisionally of the Holy Spirit as a mother or as a female is to contradict established Catholic belief. All in all, it is better to go along with the teaching method of our Lord and think of God as our Father in our prayers than to juggle theological abstractions every time we think of Him.
Okay, are we ready?
Okay.
When God turns around and creates the world, is the world male or female? Doesn't have a gender. Okay. From the world, he comes out and he creates Adam. Does Adam have a gender? Yes, male. However, where does Eve come from? It comes from Adam. So what is female? Female is that which is given to man to be that second half. We all dream about having a clone to go to work for us and that, and God was so nice, he gave it to us. Female is nothing but the other side of man. It has nothing to do with angels, with God, with heaven. Have you ever seen an angel reproduce itself? There are stories of other things, but angels don't mate. Therefore, there is no male or female. Well, let me put it this way. Everything is male. Mm-hmm. Everything is male, with the exception of the created things on this earth for animals to reproduce themselves here on earth, mm-hmm. and for men to reproduce themselves. Adam was Adam and Eve, because Adam has all the parts. So female is that part drawn out from man. Therefore, the Holy Spirit comes upon Mary. Mary is nothing but the femaleness of man to kin man back with the Holy Spirit, which brings God into the world. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's not a man. Mary's not a man. Okay? Femaleness is that taken out of man. That's why there's no sin transferred through. Okay? The femaleness is a separation of man. It's a second part, and it's only for the reproducing of children. Okay? Because the two become one, that's it. Okay, femaleness is a physical world concept. Has nothing to do with any place else.
I only have 2 points to make. My first point is, we talk about the Spirit of God being the third part of the Trinity, but Jesus says, the Father is Spirit, you must worship Him in Spirit. So the Father is Spirit, the Holy Spirit is Spirit, the Father is the Spirit of God. It's all the same thing. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the Father is Spirit and the Holy Spirit is Spirit. They're the same thing. Jesus becomes God-man, but before that is Spirit. Basically, the Godhead is Spirit. My second point is, has man ever seen a Spirit? No. So how do we even know what we're talking about? You've never seen a Spirit. You don't know what it is. You're talking about the Holy Spirit male or female? It's an honest question from an immature point of view.
Right.
But
it's a bad question.
To talk about it at a mature level is just stupid.
Well, you know, and here's another thing.
You're talking about something you've never seen before.
Here's another part, too. What is female? Female is that part that produces offspring. Okay? So, in heaven, does the Holy Spirit produce offspring? Does God produce offspring? God the Father? Yeah. Not really. Not really. Who makes the world?
The Son.
The Son. So if there is any femaleness, which is a weird concept, if there is any femaleness in heaven, It's Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's the only one who produces the world, the Adam,
right.
All of this. So it has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, has nothing to do with the Father, and a weird concept, if you're going to have any Queen of Heaven, the only one that would ever qualify for the Queen of Heaven would be Jesus.
My two thoughts on this is, this question comes from female Christians have a big problem of seeming to be ignored in Christianity as everything's male. Where do we fit into this?
I've
heard this argument before, is Jesus didn't take any woman as an apostle, and it's almost like a sexist thing, that he's discriminating against females. So when women are trying to come to Jesus, they feel that they don't have a part in this whole thing, and they're being separated off. My studies as a Christian have come to the realization that nothing could be further from the truth.
Absolutely.
But it is broadcasted out here. I got to put mainstream Christianity in there. If I was a woman, I would get the same feeling at times, too. That it's almost like a male-dominated religion.
Like a boys' club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can definitely understand where people feel that they could even change the Holy Spirit to make themselves feel like they can relate to something. They would change the Holy Spirit into a female entity that they can relate to.
Now,
that's where I see this whole question coming from, is that it makes people, women feel more comfortable.
Well, here's the other part of that, though, because remember, what is female? It's that part that's taken from man.
Exactly.
And it's taken from what? Man's body. Eve sinned, made Adam sin, okay? That body, that part that's the female part of that, that's the part that dies, okay? God is presented each person with a living soul, and that living soul has a chance to go to spirit, and that part, that living spirit with the soul has nothing to do with male or female. That's physical.
Right.
That's the part that dies. Every soul is equal in God's kingdom.
Exactly. And we have Jesus demonstrating.
Yes.
Himself. Yeah. Where do we have Jesus' example? The first one is Samaritan woman at the well. He breaks the traditions of the Jews and speaks to a non-Jewish woman and tells her the eternal life is at hand.
Yes.
That he's the Messiah.
And notice she knows it. She goes, we're waiting for the Messiah.
Yeah.
She knows the Messiah. She knows the thing. And who's the first person to run and say, I found the Messiah? Well, first you got the disciples, but the Samaritan woman goes, I found him.
The disciples didn't even like that. So Jesus right there is the pioneer for woman feminism, because he breaks it, boldly breaks that.
You know, he's not for feminism. Church. He's for soulism.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, okay, right.
I agree.
He doesn't even address the male-female question. It's souls.
Exactly.
He's out to save souls. He's not out to save men.
Right.
He's not out to save women. He's out to save souls.
And let's look at another aspect, too, of where did the Messiah, the Savior for all mankind, come from? He came from a womb of a woman. And what's beautiful about the creation of male and female, we just spoke about the female coming from male, and they're both one coin, two sides.
Yes.
That's how I always look at it. One coin, two sides. Jesus was born of a woman, Mary. A man would never, ever have that experience. That's something that a woman...
Nor could he.
He couldn't.
Yeah.
It's physically, it will never happen. And that's an experience that all of womanhood in this earth has on its side. It's because the woman produced the Savior of the world. A Mary gave birth to Christ, and a man could never do that.
You go one step further, okay? You go back to Genesis. The prophecy of the Messiah coming into the world isn't prophesied to Adam. It's mm-hmm. prophesied through the seed of the woman. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not yeah. only did Mary carry the Messiah, but it's prophesied of the seed of the woman.
Right.
Which is true, because it had nothing to do with Joseph's seed. It came through the woman while she was still a virgin. And it came through her seed, through her egg.
Right.
However that was done, the Holy Spirit impregnating Mary. It's the woman's seed even from Genesis.
And you know, when Eve is cursed, women will seek salvation through childbearing. Well, this is the child they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. I didn't bless my mom by being born. Okay, the seed that is going to come through it is all these children coming up to get to Mary, to get to Jesus. Mm-hmm. The world wasn't waiting for me to come into the world. Mm-hmm. This is the child we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus, mm-hmm. not me.
Yeah.
Your point earlier about kind of this whole a female trying to fit themselves into Christianity, would you say that has come from the feminist movement of the modern era, or is that prior to that?
I think it's being vocalized openly now in this modern era.
Because
before, the woman didn't have a voice to vocalize that she had a problem with it.
They might have thought it.
Probably the biggest thing that thought has never crossed my mind, ever, and I don't know if it's the way I was raised, the morals I was raised with from my parents, I've never felt less than a man. Personally, that's not a hurdle I've ever gotten over, so I think that probably the main part of it is going to be letting the flesh drive it.
Right.
It really is. It's females sitting there being convinced, letting themselves be convinced that they are less and that is a problem, and
yeah.
it's not, because nowhere does it say a woman is less than a man.
Right.
Yeah, but understand this too, because you do have Christian beliefs and stuff, you know there's a higher purpose. But for all these women who are unsaved, they're looking from a human point of view,
yeah.
and they're looking for equality. And when you look at equality through what's being said out there, it's not being said through an equality. This conversation coming out is not a Christian talk. This is a man-dominated talk,
mm-hmm.
and men are afraid of losing their position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They want control. Doesn't mean they're right either. It
yeah.
really doesn't.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I'm a new Christian, and I was not raised Christian.
Yeah.
I was not raised with Christian beliefs. I never opened a Bible until about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And God knew who you were before you were born.
I mean,
I think any honest look at the Gospels, which is what you did when you started,
mm-hmm.
going through the Gospels, getting to know Christ, I think the people who make the argument haven't read the Gospels. Because any honest read through the Gospels, you see time and time again of Jesus approaching women
mm-hmm.
the same,
mm-hmm.
and even
mm-hmm.
with more care as he does with men. I see him just speaking things against men, against
mm-hmm.
the Pharisees. I never see him speaking anything against women.
Right.
On very few occasions he does, but there are just as many women who approach him and who God honors their actions as do men.
Well, you know, it's the same thing, though. Let's flip the coin one more time.
Okay.
You go into churches, and you know what's wrong with marriages today? It's the way men do this and the way men do that. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're still doing physical. It's not the man. It's not the women. Okay? It's that the two of you were supposed to be that one coin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that the coin has to be driven by heads, flip it. It'll come up tails just as many times.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like tails, you flip it, it'll keep coming up heads. Okay? It's just the way you do it. You're not doing it right. It's just plain and simple. You're not doing it right. The two become one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you don't like your wife? Go cut off your own arm.
Yeah.
Because she's part of you. Okay, you don't like your husband? Hit yourself in the head,
yeah.
because he's you.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to punish him? You want to punish him? Hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just that simple. You're not getting the point.
Well, you have Mary Magdalene, a sinner who is saved and then becomes one of Jesus' most, I would say, devout
trusted
followers.
Apostle. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's women all over the Bible. Paul.
Paul always
Paul
starts off with women.
Paul comes from. Paul does come from that Pharisee side of Judaism, and you do get some of the hint in his writings about women not being able to become a preacher. Before we take
well,
that
she should go to her husband before she
exactly.
Before
what,
she
what, no, wait a minute. There's a reason for that.
I know there is, and I don't want to get into it right. Yeah, I don't want to get into that right now. But this is where people are. See, we can never be in charge of a church because Paul said so, and I've heard this.
Yeah,
it's a sexist. You know.
Yeah.
New Testament. And I've dealt with this several times. The two experiences I have is asking women why they pray to Mary, and this was the reason given to me, was because they can relate to Mary because she's a woman like them, and they feel that their prayers will be better understood and answered. Not going to judge, I'm not going to say anything about it. That's where one experience was. And then in a Bible study group with a priest who was asked why Jesus thought of woman equally, then why didn't he choose a woman as an apostle, but in a way he did with Mary Magdalene, and that was the discussion we had at that time, because that woman was felt very as an outcast in the church and Christianity, because she felt it was sexist. So that's
well, in the book of Acts, the women did play a big part, and
especially in part.
Yeah. I mean, whether they were apostles or not, they're all his disciples, and the women supported Paul. The women supported the apostles. They worked alongside of them.
You know, this is totally off the subject and stuff too, but Paul starts off, like you said, he comes from the Pharisees and stuff like that. Paul starts off with history.
Right.
But if you watch Paul go through, Paul changes a lot, like everybody should.
Right.
If you're 20 years old and you know everything, what a boring life you're going to have for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Come on, people, we all learn.
And I do have to agree with this. Some of his statements,
in there
author,
too.
I do have to agree with some of them. His answer, I mean, the last statement is, all in all, it's better to go along with the teaching method of our Lord and think of God as our Father in our prayers than to juggle theological abstractions every time we think of Him.
You know, I wish he would use that in his first couple of questions. That would have helped. That would have helped this whole conversation a lot.
He did. I felt like, you know, at first I didn't know where he was going, but yeah, he did answer that well. So we'll give him question three. Check mark, because that's fine. So, moving on to question four. When I pray, should it be to God the Father or Jesus? Doesn't a person have to pray to Jesus to get through to God the Father? That should be interesting. Let's answer that right off the bat.
Okay, you have to come to Jesus. You have to accept Him as the atonement for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
You have to accept Him and also as kin. I believe Jesus, but I'm not going to accept Him as kin to me. Well, you're not going to get anywhere, too.
And explain quickly, kin. Your meaning, because some people use that word.
Book of Ruth. It's the Kinsman Redeemer Act. A person has to be kin to you. Jesus is
related.
Born,
blood related.
Right. Jesus is kin to us by the fact that He's born to a woman. Okay. Can Satan be saved? No. Jesus was never born into angelhood. Okay. So therefore, Satan's not going to get saved. You must have the price. The price for us is death. Okay, the price we were supposed to have was perfect life. We didn't do it. Jesus did. The price we had to pay for it was death. Jesus came and died for us. So we get that kinsmanship. We get that atonement right there from Him. Now that we're family, well, God is the Father. Now that we're family, He's our Father.
Yeah.
Okay, now we can call Him Father. Now we can go straight to Him.
Right.
You know, I'm allowed to call my uncle.
Right.
Okay, I'm allowed to call my grandfather. I'm family. I can call him. Okay? And, you know, I don't have to say Bill. I can say Grandpa, Father. I can say these things now. We're family.
So let's see what his answer is. All the great Catholic mystics insist that the only way to union with God is through Jesus Christ, the God-man. Oh, that's a pretty good statement. I like that. Let's see. Practically, of course, if yours is only a prayer of petition for some temporal favor, it doesn't matter whether you pray to God or Jesus. You would be pious in asking just a saint to intercede for you. But
a who?
A saint.
You would be pious? You would. What do they mean by that?
You would be pious in asking just a saint to intercede for you.
So they're saying you need something better than a saint.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting off that.
Okay.
But for the higher forms of prayer, I didn't know there were different levels of prayer.
Okay, for something more important.
Which have as their goal the perfect union of the human will with that of the Creator.
Okay.
Okay,
I guess the difference between a Ferrari and eternal life, is that what we're getting at?
Yeah, something along that line.
The approach to the Creator must be through meditations on the life and teachings of Christ.
You got to do that before you can even talk to God.
You have to meditate on the Gospels in order to get to the Father?
No, you got to come to Jesus before you can do any of that.
So you could, in order to come to Jesus, the tools that
No, they're talking about prayer.
I know.
You can't pray.
Yeah.
You can't pray until you come to Jesus. You don't. Once you come to Jesus, you don't have to do anything. You're family.
I mean, he's saying you have to meditate on Scripture in order to get to the Father after you come to Jesus. That's kind of what he's saying.
So I have to worship my Father, my real dad, before I can talk to my grandfather? No. I can talk to my grandfather anytime I want. So in this case, I'm family through Jesus. I can talk to my grandfather anytime I want. I can talk to my father anytime I want. I don't have to do that. That doesn't make sense. Once you're family, you're family.
Yeah. Well, let's see what he says here.
Did he say more?
Yeah. Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Unitarians, and any religion which does not accept the divinity of Christ reject this approach.
But to see, they're not accepting the family part.
Yeah.
So obviously they don't qualify for any prayer. He's not going to hear any prayers. Mm-hmm. If you're not family, he's not going to listen to you.
Although some members of these faiths have reached very high states of natural prayer.
That's prayer. That's not answers.
Well, I got a little problem with the differences of prayer here. I'm like, there's like a level. So if you want eternal life, you better, is this where we're going? You address it this way? There's a formula for proper prayer for eternal life, and then when you want a candy bar?
Temporal things.
I pray I have money for a candy bar tomorrow.
That's good enough to pray to a saint.
I don't understand.
Temporal things go to saints.
Only the saints got money.
Temporal things go to the saints. Salvation goes to Jesus and Mary.
I don't know.
I mean,
there is more here, so.
He's talking about praying.
Let him go on. Let him hang himself.
He's talking about praying to Jesus, you know.
The first sentence was great.
Yeah.
Then I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Well, this is what he says next. Some techniques are common to Christian and non-Christian mystics.
Techniques. See, we're already into that part there, too.
But the ultimate distinction between them is supernatural belief in the revealed doctrine of the Blessed Trinity.
He's saying techniques are for who?
Let's go back.
What was that?
Some techniques are common to Christian and non-Christian mystics. So some religions have similar forms of prayer.
Okay.
But the ultimate distinction between them is supernatural belief in the revealed doctrine of the Blessed Trinity according to which Christ is God.
Okay. Well, see, you either have head knowledge. Head knowledge isn't really going to help you. You're either, if you want to dig deeper, you're either family or you're not. Okay? Getting on your knees, doing this or that, and talking to somebody who's not family, there's a whole bunch of numbers on that telephone. I can call a bunch of them. But when they find out I'm not family, they're going to hang up. Okay, it's the same thing here.
Well, you know, I think what they're doing is that the problem with the Catholic Church is that they're still thinking they need an intercessor. They're still needing Mary or an apostle,
so far,
saints.
So far they haven't gone there, though.
They haven't gotten there yet.
They have said saints.
Yeah, they've talked
about... In this one they did, but he did say a good statement. See, we're getting that flip-flop.
Well, you're talking about Jesus. He's already been your intercessor. He's already your kin. They're struggling with it. They can't answer the question because...
Yeah.
They still think you need an intercessor as a Christian.
Yeah, but they haven't gone there yet, so they haven't got the kin part. But they haven't led us down that path.
I don't understand the thing about, let me just read that, you would be pious in asking just a saint to intercede for you.
But I think that's a statement going towards what
it's
type
going
of
towards
prayer,
it.
Yeah.
Well, what type of prayer you're giving.
Yeah.
Is it for a candy bar or is it for salvation?
Right.
You know, if it's salvation, you need to go to Jesus. If you're going to talk to a saint, that's not going to get you anywhere.
You don't go to Jesus for the little things.
Which is wrong. You go to Jesus with everything.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's a statement we should make. Right there. We go to Jesus for everything. Let's go on with it.
He'll get you a candy bar. You know, it's cool.
The God whom all mystics seek is far and above and beyond any human power of imagination. Well, mystics seeking God... Comment on that?
He's calling all Christians mystics?
No, he's talking about he's talking about the different religions of the world, that there are some common patterns in prayer and, I guess, ritual, right?
Is he calling mystics religions?
He's calling all religions mystics?
Different religions.
I have a problem.
People who believe them, he's calling them
mystics. Well, that's true. That there are, like in Hinduism, you have mystics who believe that they're tapping into the universal power, God, universal.
But he's calling all Christians mystics.
No. He said Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Unitarians, and any religion which does not accept the divinity of Christ reject this approach.
Okay.
Although some members of these faiths have reached very high states of natural prayer. That's true, because Buddhists will sit there and meditate and they reach forms of ecstasy.
Yeah, but
the thing there is, ecstasy is a physical feeling, right? Is it salvation? There's two different, totally opposite thoughts going on here. Buddhism is for you. Those techniques work. Their processes get results. Has nothing to do with salvation. Has nothing to do with any of things that...
And has nothing to do with about getting to God.
Right.
It's not, they may do stuff, but if the only way to God is through Jesus, they're dialing the phone, they're getting somebody, but it's not the party they're looking for.
Let me just quickly explain. Let's say you rise all the way up to high Buddhism, I've studied it well in these different religions, and you find the keys to when you die, being able to control where your soul goes, and you go into the nicest place you can find. I hope it's the same kingdom that I'm talking about, because I guarantee you it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Because the nicest place of hell isn't that nice.
Well, you might be a different level of hell that has green pastures, but I'm telling you, it's not the same thing.
You're still burning. I'm sorry.
Or, you know what? Just stay here. You're right. You have mastered the techniques of concentration, patience, and mastery over your body to the point where you will know that after you're dead. Just stay here. Float around. Enjoy. And that's where I see some of it going, you know? Two different things. So I do see what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about that there are similar processes.
Okay.
And then he says here, the God whom all mystics seek is far above and beyond any human power of imagination. Well,
I don't know if you all seek that, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
In Catholic doctrine, such divine transcendence is tempered by the taking on of human nature by the second person in God. Or meaning Jesus here, I guess.
Okay, so they're saying that by Jesus taking on the human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The revelation of God of himself to human beings through the incarnation made it possible for Christian mystics to know that what is self-evidently good in human beings is a true reflection of God.
Now, hang on. What is good in human beings? Okay, no man is good. I mean, let's go to Scripture. I'm sorry. Jesus says, no man is good.
Yeah.
Okay, and Christian mystics...
I don't know what that is.
He's calling Christians mystics.
Some Christian mystics.
Okay. Yeah, well, Christian mystics, okay. Once again, you're using terms that are taken out into the world and stuff like that, and they don't have the same meanings as Christian. I'm not a mystic.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Your term of mystic is not in this conversation.
So, mystic is, let me incarnate one of the apparitions of Solomon, and yet I do pray to Jesus tonight? Is that what I'm talking about? I'll tell you,
anti-biblical.
I'm not raising any demon in my circle and then praying to Jesus afterwards. I don't understand.
There's probably going to be a conflict. In the three-way conversation, there's probably going to be a conflict. And I look at myself as being the weakest of all of them, and I'm the one that's going to hurt. No, I don't want to do that.
Or am I a Christian that prays to Jesus? I'm going to give you one more analogy. I'm a Christian that prays to Jesus, and then I'm going to go into my test tube and try to find a philosopher's stone? Two different, sorry.
Yeah.
So it's interesting he's going to mention this guy next. William Blake.
Epitomizes.
Thank you. The non-Christian conventional mystic wisdom. Quote, for mercy, pity, peace, and love is God our Father dear, and mercy, pity, peace, and love is man, his child in care.
See, he's trying to define God, which we've already discussed is undefinable.
Without the incarnation, his verses would not be so true in view of famine, pestilence, war, and death. Every official liturgical prayer of the church is addressed to God the Father, but always through Christ our Lord Jesus.
See, and what we've said is, you have no access to God until you first get that kinsmanship through Jesus. So having to keep going back, I don't have to keep asking my dad, can I be family? Dad, can I be family? Can I be family? He's like, you are family, now clean your room. Okay.
It says, through means that we have prayed to Jesus first, and with him offered our prayer to the Father.
Yeah. You in the future, you will go directly to the Father. See, that's that family part. It's just not recognizing the fact that you are family.
Aside from
it's
the
not
fact
accepting
that they're
it.
The same.
Yes.
It's weird how we go off on these, this is guy's writings though. I mean, we're off in some weird subjects.
Jesus is inside of you, and the Spirit leads you to pray, and I have to pray to Jesus, he's inside of me, I gotta go to the Father.
It's a circle.
It's all confusing, you're going in a circle.
And those have already we're getting into Christian mystics, we're getting into this. He's not explaining what he means by mystic.
He's going in a
circle. But he's more than generous and likes to, you know, really lubricate this conversation with his words.
He likes the word a little too much.
His final statement is not to use the way, which is, parentheses, I am the way, Jesus said, is a detour from the path to God. Well, that's It's weird we ended with a good statement.
Yeah.
We began with a good statement as well.
Like I said, this is an opportunity for us to take an easy question-and-answer session.
And let's be honest with it, too. We're the ones sitting here talking about somebody who has actually put something in print.
Yeah.
You know, he did the job. He put it in print. And we're not just sitting here criticizing him because
we're Monday
morning quarterbacking.
Right.
We're trying to help the conversation.
Exactly. It's an opportunity for us to discuss different topics surrounding faith.
And we're putting our voices out here now, so you can criticize back at our site, too.
Exactly.
That's why.
Yeah, because there are statements that I don't agree with and statements I do agree with. Like that last statement, it's a very nice statement to make. Not to use the way, which is where Jesus says, I am the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
See, like I said, you know what? I don't really like that statement.
God. That's a nice statement.
Mm-hmm. He summed it up really nice and brought it all back.
Yeah.
He's saying don't pray to the way.
No, no he's saying...
Not to use the way, which is when Jesus said, I am the way,
yeah.
Is a detour from the path of God. For the path to...
You'll never get there.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. I like it.
It's a different way
of putting it, you know, but I like it. Well, that ends the first chapter of this book, which is titled God. And the second chapter is titled Jesus. So we will cover that on our next evening sitting around. And appreciate your time tonight. And if you have any questions, feel free to submit it to BibleTruthOnline.com. And have a good night.